Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners. No prisoners. 1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter. I'm a broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with hedgers and speculators, farmers and traders. We also have a great online trading platform for the computer and your phone. You can work broker-assisted with me. There's also a hybrid category, which is a mix of both. So if you're a client and you like any of these strategies or ideas we're talking about, please shoot me an email or give me a call or text me. And we can go over them. If you're not a client but have been thinking about it and want to work with me, please feel free to reach out anytime. All my contact information is in the show notes. My number here is 312-706-7610. And if you like this podcast and you want to take a look at the newsletter, you can text number 33777. That's 33777 with the message Turner, T-U-R-N-E-R, following instructions, and you can take a look at Turner's Take newsletter too. All right, so let's get into it. This week, we'll do the macro news first. All right, so looks like the Northeast United States is going to extend stay at home until May 15th. So that means the recovery process in the economy is just going to be that much more delayed. But, you know, if that's going to, in the end, in the big picture, if that's going to be better for public health and, you know, in the end, be better for off, just not just health-wise with the economy, maybe that all works out. So that's big story number one. So that's going to cause a little bit of weakness. But I think the market was kind of expecting that, extending it to May 15th. I mean, the CDC has been saying for a while that we shouldn't have groups of over 50 or more, you know, until May 15th. And then it was up to the states and the government to even reduce that more. So the CDC is, you know, a while ago, even before, like, my state, Illinois, went into stay-at-home, CDC was saying no more than 50 between now and May 15th. And that was, I want to say that was in March when they were saying that. So not surprised on that. So we'll see what happens in a month from now. It looks like from a stimulus standpoint, small business funding has pretty much dried up. They've gone through the stimulus, and now they're looking to pass another bill to get more funds to small business for loans and for support. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, depending on what numbers you read, small businesses may fund up to 50% of the workforce. You know, and depending on the definition of small business, it can be under 100, it can be under 500. But whatever it may be, even if it's like the narrowest of the definition of 100 employees or less, that would still make up for about 40% of 35 to 40% of the workforce. So it's a huge part of the economy. You'd think, or you'd hope, they'd be able to figure this out in the government, but it really is a huge part of the economy to kind of let flounder like this. Unemployment, jobless claims for the past 4 weeks, if you look at all the numbers for the past 4 weeks, is now totaling about 20 to 22 million, which is going to put the unemployment rate when the next report comes out probably around 15% unemployment. Which is going to, I think the market is bracing for that. If it's a lot over 15%, like 17% or higher, that might get a bearish reaction out of the market when the next unemployment report comes out. If it's below like 13%, that might even be bullish, but I mean, bullish above based on expectations, not the headline's going to look awful, but 15%. On unemployment looks like where we're going to be on this next report. Some of the analysts think, you know, because of the stay-at-home verdicts and the businesses that have basically shut down now, Now that we've been doing this for a month, you know, we're not going to see another 22 million people go out of work. You know, the businesses that can operate remotely, people from home, where stay-at-home works, or if it's government employees, you know, that's going to, I think the government employees make up, what is it? And this is across state, federal, local, everything, you combine everything. It's about 15% of the workforce, so nothing's going to happen there. Big business is about 30%, 25 to 30% of the workforce, and most of the big business will probably stay intact. So what we're really dealing with here, for the most part, is the 50% of the small business. So if unemployment does go to 20%, and we were at like 5, and it's 15%, you know, that's really 30% of small businesses, right? You know, which is where employees have been laid off. So you would, one, you know, you can make a case when the economy comes back, those jobs come back, or some or most of them do. But in the meantime, that's the part of the population that's going to be hurting the most. And that's what it looks like the government's trying to fund in some way, shape, or form right now. Because that is going to be a big, big problem. So that is where we are in the macro markets. I'm personally fortunate that I can do my job from home, but I do feel for the people out there who, you know, basically work in any kind of business that requires social, you know, personal social interaction, right? I mean, if your business is touched by that, that is just a real raw deal here, over the, at least another month of it. So hopefully that gets better and we can see something from the government there. A little bit of support, which leads to the stock market. So we still think we're going to see a U bottom. I sent out an email the other day through Turner's Take with the IMF, World Outlook Production. You know, they're calling for a 5% decrease in GDP and then basically making it all back up in 2021. So really what the – and when you look at the economists and the projections, it sounds like to us, you know, April and May – are going to be kind of, you know, you seize the world and the United States economic engine, and then there's going to be the aftermath in June, July, August of stabilization, and then the slow crawl forward, going forward in the last quarter of 2020, and then probably the much bigger growth to get back where we were in 2021. With that said, I think the biggest thing we can look at the energy markets or in the commodity markets is energy. The numbers are out, and it looks like in April we're gonna be down. The crude oil industry probably lost 30 million barrels a day of demand in April, or has been and will for April. That looks like a pretty good estimate on what's gonna happen there. So when OPEC came out and cut 10 million barrels a day, and you know, some of the non-OPEC countries are cutting back too. And the United States, just because of natural price and supply and demand, has cut back on its own privately. You know, that's just the free markets working there. But even when you add up all those cuts, it's not 30 million barrels a day. When you look at what they're projecting for May, as things, and they're starting to say things either slowly come back in May. United States around the world, we're still going to be losing 25 million barrels of demand a day. And again, it doesn't matter if OPEC's cutting and all the other countries are down cutting 10, 15, or 20. That still builds a pretty steep build into crude oil. So when you look at the futures for crude, the reason why May is at 20, but you can have December at 32, is just realizing how bad things are going to be in April, May, and probably into June. So when you look at it, when we finally, over the year, the projections for the year 2020, we're going to have probably a year-over-year loss of demand by 10 million barrels a day. So if OPEC and these nations basically keep these production cuts, just don't do it for April and May or May and June, and they probably will extend it into the summer and into the fall, at some point we will stabilize in crude oil around that 10 million barrel cut a day. probably some point in the fourth quarter of 2020. So it looks like crude is a $20 commodity in the front months and 30s in the deferreds, right? With the front month, the actual front month and probably the second month, probably taking the brunt of everything until we see signs of the economy opening up. The value is going to probably be in the back months where we think that there will be a recovery already. So I still like December crude. I'm not saying it can't go lower. It certainly can. But we're still 6 months out, 7 months out in the futures contracts anyways, 8 months in the calendar. But and I still think by the fourth quarter, we recover enough where we're not going to produce more than we're using. I think that's a fair assessment right now. So I still like crude. I kind of like the bull spreads, but going way out in the curve. What it means for the grain markets. So what it means for the grain markets, one, corn, the ethanol component. If we're going to, we could probably lose anywhere from 500 million to a billion bushels of corn demand spread over old crop and new crop. Okay, because ethanol and RBOB gasoline are going to be low for a while, but RBOB is still going to be lower than ethanol, or even if it's the same price ethanol, it still doesn't make sense in the margin size to use corn for ethanol. We hear about states wanting to get out of their mandates for production, and what's going to end up happening is instead of using 5.5 billion bushels of corn for ethanol, it's going to probably be something closer to somewhere between 4.5 and 5 billion in the old crop. And then you'll see some spillover into the new crop reduction of the ethanol numbers just because that marketing year starts September 1. So we probably don't get back to normal with gasoline prices and ethanol demand until 2021. So that's going to be a struggle. Now, at some point, corn does become a value play. I think corn's going to have a tough time for the rest of the month. As we get into the last couple of weeks, we're in the last 2 weeks of the month here of a delivery month. There usually is some pressure that gets put on corn. What happens is if there's a basis contract, hedge to arrive, anything that needs to be priced or delivered is going to pressure corn down. Will pressure corn lower it, especially when you have adequate or burdensome stocks, which we do. So I would think corn sees some pressure into the end of the year. I do think it's come down so much that at some point it's a value. So my idea with corn is over the next 2 weeks, if we do get a rally, modest rally, 5-10 cents, it's probably a selling opportunity because between now and first notice day, we're probably over that span will be lower than where we are now. So, and if I'm going to buy corn, if I'm going to take a shot at corn, which I haven't in a while, but if I'm going to take a shot at corn, it's going to be on first notice day in April, buying the July contract, just to see if we have any summer weather rallies. I mean, the funds are getting real short. We're going to get into any kind of potential weather problems. So I kind of like buying corn last day in April. So just to repeat here, you know, it's something. So I'm completely clear, between now and April, at the end of April, I'd like to be short. If we get a rally in the next couple of days, 5-10 cents, whatever it may be, I wouldn't mind selling the May and then riding basically whatever downward pressure delivery happens. And at the end of the month, regardless if I'm short or not, not only would I cover May, but let's just say I never got in. We never got the opportunity to sell it. Regardless, I still want to get long July. And then whatever rally we get, and who knows what it's going to be. It might not be anything, but it could be 5, 10, 15 cents. And that's going to be completely dependent upon how short the market is. Maybe crude can get some rally. Maybe the market's just exhausted from selling. Maybe we actually get some real weather issues or planting delays or something to spark a rally. Preferably before the WASD, right? And then if we can get that rally in the 2 weeks after first notice day before the WASD, I'd want to get out of old crop and probably sell new crop as we head into the WASD. That is my game plan for corn. That's how I kind of see things going on. The reason why I really don't want to be long corn heading into the WASD. I think we're going to have, I think the USDA is going to cut ethanol demand again. And even they could add to exports. Corn's cheap in the United States compared to a lot of other places. And you can see exports increase. Maybe even, yeah, exports increase as ethanol demand comes down. But this new crop number, it should not shock anyone when we're over 3 billion bushels in new crop for that May WASD. All right. And, you know, that's not a pretty picture. Now, we could have this all could be selling the room or buying the, and then get some by the fact after that report, but which we'll take into consideration. We'll see where prices are as we head into the WASD. If we've had a big rally, we got to sell into it. If it's just been down the whole time, you could actually get a sell the rally by the fact deal. So we'll just have to see how short the market is and where we are. But that is the game plan I'm following. As far as soybeans go, I think we're getting beat up pretty good here. I think there's going to be some value in the soybean market. Unless we're wrong about demand. I mean, we're having demand somewhat strong, which with the slow acreage amount and a trend line yield, you know, we have stocks in soybeans in the 400s for old crop and 300s for new crop. That's relatively bullish. You know, if demand ends up being weaker, I don't think it will be, but if it ends up being weaker because of coronavirus, then, you know, we're going to, you know, then soybeans won't look so bullish. Not going to look bearish, be more neutral. But if the USDA comes in May and sees the buying China's done and says, hey, China will be buying beans from us when our marketing year starts and Brazil stops, you know, that could be good. You know, that could be a bullish situation for soybeans. So I kind of like buying the dips on beans. Maybe soybeans also goes lower into first notice day. Maybe we can position ourselves to get long a little bit of soybeans heading into the May WASD. So that's what I'm thinking there. Wheat, you know, all it's going to take is a couple of a good rain in the Black Sea, you know, region for wheat is going to send prices down. I know there's some tightness out there. I know there's some dryness and weather issues, but the world balance sheets and the U.S. balance sheets have a lot of wheat on them, and any kind of rain to end this weather rally and from Europe, you know, could send us down 20 or 30 cents or something like that. So that's where we are on the wheat market. Hogs and livestock, here's the problem right now. In the short term, we are having plants are closing because of coronavirus. Their employees getting sick, and the right thing to do is to close them down and make sure everyone's safe and healthy and then open them back up. That's what they're doing. But on the short front end of the, you know, the front end of the curve on the livestock, you know, if you're not going to have the processing plants, then there's no one there to buy the hogs, or there's no one there to buy the cattle, which means live cattle, lean hogs don't have demand from the packers and the processors, which means they go lower. And that's what's going on. That's, if you take a look at the hog market, that's what's going on the hog market. Huge supply, and we're having some issues on the supply side, especially on the packer side. Also happened a little bit on the beef side. I personally, out of all of them, I like December cattle. The fact that December cattle is under 100 doesn't usually live there long historically. I think between now and December, this does get sorted out. So I like December cattle, whether you're buying December in the futures, which you're going to have to prepare for some pretty big volatility swings, or you're looking at call spreads. I like those. I actually kind of, for someone who doesn't want to be in futures but is also okay with a little bit of risk, buying call spreads and selling put spreads seems interesting too. If you have any questions about that or how we're going to go about it, you know, please let me know. So that's where we are. Just to give a quick summary here, I like buying the E-mini S&P or the micro on the dips, on the big dips, on the big down days. I do like that. I do think we're bottoming out here. I do like the back end of the curve in crude oil. I think there's value in the December cattle prices. You know, I don't need to go over my corn game plan again. I think that's pretty detailed. The same with soybeans. So that's what I'll be looking at. And if you get the newsletter, when I like these ideas, I'll be sending them out. And again, if you have any interest in working with me, or if you're a client we haven't talked in a while, or if you've been following along and, you know, want to implement some of these things, please give me a call. 312-706-7610. And again, if you don't get Turner's Take, you want to check it out, just text number 33777 with the message Turner. Finally, my newsletter, I've been talking a lot about my personal life and what we've been doing at home. If you hear any racket in the background, it's because we have a handyman over who's fixing a couple of boards on my house. I was power washing and chipping the paint away over the past weekend because I'm home for at least another month. So I do have time to paint my house. Got nothing else going on here. And I found a couple of boards that were rotting away. Like, in the back of the house, that last board, you know, on the house, it's all pine. And, you know, sometimes a little water collects there. It must have been slowly rotting. So I got a little bit of that going on today, if you can hear the saw. But, anyways, things are good. If you want to read more about what I've been doing at home with my wife and four kids while we're all quarantined and homeschooling and all working from home, definitely check that out too. So everyone, stay safe out there. It's Thursday. Have a great weekend. Hopefully the weather gets a little bit nicer than it has been, and I'll talk to you all soon. All right, take it easy, everyone.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.